There we go. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5 is where we'll be to begin with. And then I want you to also find your place in Luke chapter number 10. We'll get to Luke chapter number 10 in just a few minutes, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter number 5 as we continue this morning in our series on mercy, and thankful for the fact that we did not get what we deserve. And we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary. And because of Him, we don't get what we deserve. Let's never forget that God is good to us. And we're just a bunch of sinners. And if you're saved this morning, you're just a sinner saved by grace. And that's the thing that we can say, what can we brag about? I can brag about the fact that I've got a Savior. I got somebody who loves me, who paid for my sin debt. And I'm certainly thankful for the gospel. Matthew chapter number 5, I'll begin reading verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 7. And again, hold your spot in Luke chapter number 10. We'll get to there in just a few moments. Matthew chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and he was set. His disciples came unto him. Of course, we're talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This morning we're going to look at that verse, and then we'll look at Luke chapter 10 in just a few moments and see how mercy plays out. But this morning, as we continue in this Great is Thy Mercy series, I want to speak on His mercy flows through me. His mercy flows through me. Father, we pray that You would help us this morning. We can do nothing without You. We need Your Spirit today. I pray that He would empower me. May the words that are said be exactly what we need to hear. May the Scripture, the truths of the Word of God, help us today. If there's one unsaved, may today be their day of salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So far, as we have been in this Sunday morning series on mercy, we've seen a lot of things. We've seen how His mercy saved us. You did not work your way through salvation. It's just by the mercy of God that He loved us enough by His grace that we are saved. And it's His mercy that sustains us. Have you ever been in a situation? I know that you have. We all have, where you didn't know how you're going to get through it. Didn't know how you're going to survive. And then you look back and say, I still don't know how I got through it. Let me help you. God got you through it. His mercy sustains us, because when we got saved, this flesh did not get perfection. We still fail, but it's His mercy that sustains us. His mercy follows us all through life. If you're saved this morning, I know I've asked you once again, but I'm probably going to ask you like half a dozen times just because I just want to see it. How many of you are saved this morning? Okay? You know that feeling you get that somebody's watching you? Somebody's following you? That's mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. Mercy follows us through life. His mercy receives us when we come to Him. We can go boldly to the throne of God, and we find mercy there. Last week, we talked about how His mercy changes us. Aren't you glad you're not who you were? Some of you, you're still hard to deal with, because I can only imagine how you were before you got saved. His mercy changes us. There should be a change in us. See, religion would work on the outside, where God, by His grace, changes the inside. And then we are changed from the inside out. Because you don't change to get saved, but because you're saved, God begins to change you from the inside out. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful reminder of everything mercy has done and does for us. But I'm afraid sometimes as God's people, we think that mercy is supposed to stop with us. I'm thankful that God has mercy to me, aren't you? Amen. I'm thankful for all of those things that we just were reminded of that mercy does for us. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that even now I can boldly go to that throne of grace and find mercy there. The change that mercy brings about, but I'm afraid that we miss an aspect of the Christian life. That when we miss it, it really is shameful to us, because we make it all about us and that mercy stops with us. Mercy is not something God gives us so that we can hold on to it tightly. It's not something God gives to us that's supposed to end with us. But by the way, God is big enough that he can bestow mercy on everybody. But his plan is not just for him to bestow mercy upon us and us to walk around, because we can't have pride in being saving ourselves, because we can't save ourselves, but we sure can be proud because we've received the mercy of God. Because I've received his mercy, I'm not like you. You need his mercy. We can get prideful in that. We can get a little bit judgmental and arrogant in that, can we not? Some of you quit looking at me like, well, you know what I'm talking about. But God never intended for it to end with us. Mercy is something that God gives to us so that it can flow from us to others. Or should I say through us to others. See, one of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is someone who enjoys the mercy of God but does not extend the mercy of God. Let me say that again. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is becoming someone who enjoys the mercy of God, but does not extend the mercy of God. We love being forgiven, don't we? Aren't you thankful that through Christ, we have forgiveness of our sins? Now, this is a good-looking crowd. This is a good crowd. I would say this crowd's better than any other crowd. Can I get a second on that? Oh, man, y'all are full of pride. I got to preach on that tonight. No, we can testify to what mercy's done for us, that we enjoy being forgiven. We love being helped, don't we? How many of you don't have to raise your hand? Because, truthfully, everybody needs to raise their hand if we were doing that this morning. But how many has needed a second chance? How many has needed a do-over? But why is it that God's people, when it comes to others, we can become critical? We can be impatient when, by God's mercy, he's been patient with us. We can be harsh to others, and by God's grace, we've experienced the mercy of God, and he has not been harsh with us. Oh, here's one. We can be dismissive. Aren't you thankful that God is not dismissive to you and I? See, Jesus is addressing several things here, what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. But let's not lose sight of blessed are the merciful. It's not just those who receive mercy. That word merciful is somebody who's received it, but the context of what the Lord is saying is somebody who shows it. You and I are blessed because God loved us enough to give us mercy. You're not blessed because God was a good God. We've received his blessing. But how are we blessed? We're blessed when we have mercy and we show it to someone else. We are blessed because God's been merciful. But what the scripture is talking about here is that there is a blessing for those that show mercy to others. See, if mercy has made a difference in your life, and it has, it is meant to flow through you. Let me give you several things this morning. We'll move quickly through this as quickly as possible. But let me say, number one, we're talking about mercy, not getting what we deserve. Mercy is evidence of a changed heart. Blessed are the merciful. You know, not everybody who has received mercy shows mercy. Not everybody who has received grace shows grace. Not everybody who's received love shows love. But as God's people, are we not supposed to show Christ to the world? And how do we do that? It's more than wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm a disciple of Christ. It's letting the love of Christ flow through us. How does that happen? You love others. Letting the grace of God flow through us. How does that happen? You show grace to others. Letting the mercy of God flow through us. How does that happen? We show mercy to others. Blessed, you see it there, verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful. Jesus here is not describing a personality trait. Well, it's just not my personality to be merciful. That's not a personality trait. You can be outgoing or you can be introverted. Those are personality traits. But this is not what the Lord is describing. He's describing a spiritual condition. And by the way, we are very good at that, saying that's just the way I am when we're talking about a spiritual condition. We're really confessing our spiritual nature when we use something we should be doing as a character trait. Mercy is not something you manufacture. It is something that flows out of a heart that has been changed by God. Okay, we wronged God in our sin. Are you with me this morning? That's how mercy, not getting what we deserved. He did not just the moment we sinned cast us into hell, which we deserved. He showed mercy on us. He provided a payment, a way. And when somebody wrongs you, you have to find a... It's not natural for you to just say, well, however it falls, it falls. That's how a lot of us are. It's not something we manufacture. There are some people who wrong you that it is humanly impossible for you to show mercy on them. So how do we show mercy? It's God's mercy that flows through us. It's the Spirit of God that is working through our life. See, if you've been shown mercy and refused to show mercy, there's a big problem there. Because mercy is an evidence of a changed heart. It's something that flows out of a heart that has been changed by God. See, we tend to evaluate people very quickly, don't we? We measure, we compare. I'll just use the word that we all use, we judge. Pastor, I'm not judging, I'm just measuring them. Well, Pastor, I'm not judging, I'm just comparing. I'm just evaluating. Okay, let's use the other word, judge. But see, when we remember God shows us mercy, something happens on the inside. Friend, what you and I need to remember this morning is that in every situation, you needed mercy too. You didn't just need mercy from God. Can we all agree on that? But you needed mercy from man too. You needed mercy from that person you disappointed. You needed mercy from the people that you let down. You needed mercy from the people that you wronged. See, we must remember I needed mercy too. That changes how we see others. Instead of asking, well, what's wrong with them? Maybe we start asking, well, what have they been through? What are they going through? See, we like to just react in a harsh way sometimes. We just want to throw that label on there and say, well, that person's just a jerk. Well, they very well may be, but that's not the way we should look at them. We ought to look at the situation and say, well, you know what? If it wasn't for the grace of God and it wasn't for God's mercy on me, I wouldn't be anywhere where I should be. But maybe I can look at them a little bit differently and say, I wonder what they've been through. We respond carefully. We become more understanding. So let me say, first of all, mercy is an evidence of a changed heart. And if it's evidence of a changed heart, a lack of mercy is evidence of a heart that's not been changed. It's not my place to judge anybody's salvation. We're going to be surprised that some people aren't in heaven. We're going to be surprised some people are going to be there. And by the way, there's going to be people there surprised you're there too. Because it's the grace of God. But I worry about these, and I wonder about these Christians who can't show mercy to anybody. Then I have to ask myself the question, if they've truly been a recipient of mercy, why can't they show mercy? It's a logical question to say, have they received that mercy? Because it ought to be something that flows through us. Statement number two this morning, mercy sees the person, not just the problem. You know, we as Christians and as Baptists, we're good at seeing problems, aren't we? Pastor, I want to point out all the problems. Thanks for that. I'm way ahead of you. Mercy sees the person. And by the way, this will help you understand others. This will help you understand your person. Why does he put up with them? Because it's not always about the problem, it's about the person. Because the Lord puts up with me. He puts up with you. Turn with me to Luke chapter number 10 real quick. If you got your Bible marked over there, Luke chapter number 10. the story we see of the good Samaritan. A lot of us know this story. Luke chapter number 10, we'll look at verse number 30. I'm going to start reading because of time. When you catch up with me, Luke chapter 10, I'll begin reading with verse number 30. And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him." See, mercy sees the person, not just the problem. Jesus illustrates this in this passage of Scripture. There's a man beaten, robbed, left half dead on the side of the road. Two religious men pass by. They see him. They recognize the situation. They diagnose the situation correctly. Here is somebody who has fallen in a bad way. Somebody who has fallen among thieves. He's been beaten, stripped, robbed, left half dead. And what religious people often do, they begin to say, well, he obviously got in with the wrong crowd. Very well may be true. He should have known better than to be out that time of night. He should have not been traveling by himself. Stating things that might have gotten that individual in that situation. But then there was another one that comes by. The Samaritan comes by. He saw him, and instead of just simply acknowledging this situation exists, acknowledging that this is not a good situation, this person has fallen into some trouble, the Bible says the difference is he had compassion. The priest saw him, the Levite saw him, but the Samaritan felt something different. See, mercy does not just observe. We have to be very, very careful as Christians today. And there's a lot of preachers that do this. We are very good at pointing out the problem. Oh, people today just don't care. But you know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be engaging them. Why? Out of mercy. Well, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to help them. Well, could we try one more time? See, mercy sees the person. And if we're not careful, we can become so structured, so focused, so busy in ministry that we begin to overlook the very people we've been called to help. You know, there are times where it's like, well, here, and I'm just going to be very transparent this morning and be very real, if I could do that this morning. There's a lot of churches and there's a lot of Christians and there's a lot of preachers that look at situations they don't want to mess with because it's complicated. This is going to take some time, some investment, and there's going to be no guarantee that this person ever gets their life back together. There's going to be no guarantee that this person will ever get saved. There's no guarantee that anything good's ever going to come from this. That's not how we ought to judge whether or not we're involved in a situation, as if we know the outcome. Mercy says, I have to get involved. Why? Because the person is worth it. Don't give up on people because they have big problems. You can't ignore the problem and pretend like there's not a problem, but you have to also be able to see the person and have some patience and have some mercy and have some forgiveness. That's what mercy does. It sees the person, not the problem. Did this man who fell among thieves have problems? Absolutely. But the Samaritan, what made him different was he was concerned about the person. He would deal with the consequences of the problem. We see that in verse 34. But before he could deal with the consequences, he had to realize that this is a person that needs help. This is a person. Well, when they acknowledge of all the, you know, okay, he's bleeding to death. Let's get him conscious before he can, we demand him acknowledge that he fell in with the wrong crowd. Mercy sees the person, not just the problem. Let's be careful, church, because we can look at this world and we can see the problem. We got to see the people too. Well, it's this liberal ideology. It's all this, and I'm not for it. You know, the public schools kick God out of there. Well, what do they think is going to happen? I've said that. But you know, there are still people who need Christ, who need salvation. Why is it that saved people get so mad at lost people for acting like they're lost people? But for the grace of God, if you were not saved, you'd be acting like, some of you are saved and act like lost people still. So why are we upset when lost people are acting like lost people? We got to be able to see the people. Okay, and that's why I'm so excited about the ministries we're doing, be the 12 stones and the grief and all of these other things. You say, Pastor, is that really what we need to be doing? Absolutely, it's what we need to be doing. We shouldn't be mad at people because they're hurting. We shouldn't be mad at people. Say, well, if they had been in Sunday school, well, not like you got drugged to Sunday school. That's the only reason you were there growing up. And we want to be so spiritually pious. Well, I grew up in Sunday school only because your mama grabbed you by the back of the neck and brought you there. How many of you grew up in Sunday school? Okay, all of you that raise your hand, you got the same drug problem. Your parents drug you to church every Sunday, whether you wanted to be or not. They were drugging you there. You understand what I'm saying this morning? We have to see, there's the problem is there. We got to see the person and realize the person is worth dealing with the problem. Number three, mercy moves toward the need, even when it costs something. It moves towards the need, even when it costs something. Now, there are some who'll see the problem, they'll see the person, and have compassion, but that's not mercy. You can feel empathy and show no mercy. You can shed a tear and show no mercy. Mercy is when you move towards meeting the need, even when it costs something. You've experienced God's mercy today. How much did that cost? It cost the blood of Christ. Well, I would get involved in showing mercy. Whatever that looks like, get involved in the ministry of the church, get involved, giving towards missions, whatever it be. You might have some compassion about it, but are you really a person of mercy unless you're willing to get your hands dirty and let it cost you something? This story we're very familiar with, the Samaritan, he didn't know this individual who had been beaten and left for dead. But in verse 34, we see that his mercy, his compassion became mercy. And look at the first few words of verse 34. And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring an oil and wine, and set him on his own beast. Now let me ask you a question. Who paid for that oil and wine? It was his. He didn't call the church and say, hey, this person's got a problem and you need to take care of it. He met the need himself. I'm praying the Lord gets a hold of pastor's heart and he meets that need. There's life every day that we live. And it may not cost you oil. You may not be addressing the wounds on the side of the road, but it can cost you time. It can cost you energy. It can cost you emotion. See, mercy moves toward the need even when it costs. God's people have got to stop evaluating whether or not I show mercy based on how much it cost me. Because that's not mercy at all, because mercy is not transactional. It's because we've received the mercy of God. It's going to flow through us. The Samaritan didn't just feel compassion. There are, and I'll use the term church loosely, churches all over this country that have compassion, but they show no mercy. Because they don't act. They don't go to the person. They don't take Christ to the person. Notice what he did. He went to him. He bound his wounds. He set him on his own beast. and he brought him to an inn. He paid for his care. He got his hands dirty. He walked so the man could ride. He was not afraid of making the sacrifice for somebody he didn't know. Well, Pastor, I believe if it's somebody that I know, I'll give to that need. But if it's somebody I don't know, I don't know who we're going to reach in these ministries. Well, he didn't know this man. He just knew this man had a need. Well, why are we making sacrifices? Because there was a great sacrifice made for us to have salvation, for us to have forgiveness, for us to have the church. So we ought to be willing to make sacrifices so others can have salvation, so others can have forgiveness, so others can have a church. Mercy is not passive. Mercy moves. Mercy gets involved. And mercy costs something. This will help some of you this morning. You're faithful to church, and I thank God for that. You're part of everything that goes on. You're involved in things, and you're compassionate, and you care about souls. But that's different than showing mercy. You have to get involved in that. You've got to show some action in that. You've got to move towards the need. Mercy costs something. It costs time. It costs energy. It costs comfort. It costs resources. As we continue to grow, we're going to get, it's full in here this morning. It's going to get fuller and fuller. And, you know, it's like, Pastor, we can hardly get in and out of the restrooms now. Well, there's going to be some sacrifices. You know, take a number. We'll do rotations. Last names are here to here. Now's your time to go. We laugh this morning, but there are churches who'll get to a place where they'll refuse to help other people because it causes them some discomfort. Bless God, Pastor, we've been sitting in these same seats for 3 generations. Somebody might take my seat. I hope so. Just to see if you got real Christianity, let somebody in the Baptist church take your seat. We joke this morning, but it's mercy that's got to be shown, because mercy, when it flows through us, it's moving towards others. See, aren't you thankful that God didn't just love you from His throne? He didn't just love you from a distance. Oh, I love my creation, and oh, I have so much compassion for them, and oh, I love them so much, and oh, I'm remembering they are but dust, and they can't help themselves. Oh, I love them. That wouldn't get you and I any more saved. It wouldn't get you and I any more forgiven. But His love and His compassion compelled Him to move, to do something. He came to us. He knew we couldn't get to Him, so He came to us. He intervened in the situation. He paid the price. You realize that we pay no price for forgiveness, that Christ paid the whole price? We pay no price for reconciliation to the Almighty God. Christ paid the whole price. When mercy flows through us, we begin to reflect that same movement toward others. Number 4, mercy reflects the character of God. Every time we show mercy, we're putting God on display. We're showing the world what He is like. And friend, this is why you got to be very, very careful. You know what I'm about to say, because I harp on it all the time, but I want to warn us. We're supposed to be spiritual creatures, not political ones. Now, I'm for you doing what's going on. I'm for you voting, and you should vote right. We should be involved because we're citizens of this great nation. But a political party does not create enemies for me. Well, they don't deserve our prayers. Oh, really? What kind of God are you serving? And when somebody wrongs you and you offer forgiveness, all you're doing is just showing them not how good you are, but you're putting God on display. Can we be honest this morning? Everybody you've forgiven, you haven't wanted to. Well, if I like them, I'll forgive them. What about the ones you don't like? See, when we forgive someone who doesn't deserve it, you ever done that? When you give someone another chance, when you respond with patience instead of anger, when you help someone who cannot repay you, you're reflecting the heart of God, because that's the same heart that God showed to you and showed to me. We've got to stop making Christianity transactional. That's why, as the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, I will pray for you. I do pray for you. I am here to help you, to serve you. But I'm here to also help and to serve this community. Are they a tither? I didn't sign up for this thing because somebody's tithing. Now, you should be one of those. But it's like, well, I'm going to call the, if I call the pastor, is he going to check my tithing record? Well, it depends if it's life or death. No. I get stopped all the time. Are you a pastor? Are you a preacher? Yes, I am. Would you pray with me? Would you pray? Absolutely. What is it? Do I want? Can I just say this? Sometimes that's inconvenient. And I'm going to make some of you feel bad. It's not my purpose. But it's like, I text pastor 3 minutes and 42 seconds ago, and I hadn't got a return text. I thought about calling the church office and asking for an appointment, and he hadn't called me yet. You got that right? I thought about calling, and he hasn't reached out to me yet. I was in the hospital, and he didn't come see me. Well, did you tell anybody? No. I'm private. But why didn't he come see me anyway? The point is, it's not always convenient when mercy is required. It reflects the character of God. See, people should not only hear about God's mercy from a pulpit, they should see it in His people. I want the Emmanuel Baptist Church to be known for truth. We believe that book. You're not going to have a pastor stand up here and say, well, let me tell you what God really meant by that. God is perfectly capable of telling us what He meant when He said it. How arrogant do you have to be to explain God? I'm not going to stand up here and say we're a church that those are truths for yesterday and we're going to guard the truth. I still believe there's one way to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want the Emmanuel Baptist Church to be known for truth. We stand on truth. But I also want us to know equally that we are a church of mercy. That we will bestow mercy because that's the nature of God. God did not have you sign a doctrinal statement before He gave you the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people should be the same way. We should be a people of mercy that lets God's mercy flow through us. And it just shows the nature of God. I would say, Pastor, you have a merciful spirit. It has nothing to do with me. It's I want people to see I have a God who's merciful. And I'm just going to do the best I can to play out the character of God and do what He would do. It's not giving glory to anybody other than Him. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not capable of doing it. See, we're not going to compromise our standards, but we're also going to extend grace. You know, I can believe what I believe and still not hate everybody who doesn't believe exactly like I believe. I can believe what I believe, and I'm not budging off of what I believe, but I can still show some grace and some mercy. How can you do that? Because that's who God is. That's who He is. Let me give you a bonus point today. Number five. Mercy keeps our hearts tender. If you marked your spot, go back over to Matthew 5. We'll conclude with this. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful. Those that show mercy. You with me? What else does it say? For they shall obtain mercy. Don't miss this. I did not have to be merciful to get mercy from God. That's not what that's saying. It's not saying that in order to get mercy from God, I've got to show mercy to other people. Because when God showed mercy to you, you weren't even on this planet. Before the foundation of the world, God established that I'm going to give my son to pay for the sins of man. And salvation was free and available when your heart got convicted by the Spirit of God and you gladly received the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to show mercy for God to give me mercy. That's not what that is teaching. They shall obtain mercy. I've got to go around and show mercy. Now you do reap what you sow. But that is, we're talking about the nature of an almighty God. How merciful has he been to us? All of us, if we're honest, we'd have to testify, God's been merciful to me when I didn't. That's what mercy is. I didn't deserve it. But I believe what that is teaching, for they shall obtain mercy. How does a Christian become merciful and do what we're saying we should do? It's because when we show mercy, it keeps our heart tender and we obtain mercy. You say, well, that person's a merciful person. How'd they become that? They showed mercy. That's why you ought to show mercy, because it's right, not because you feel like showing mercy. This is not a system of earning from God. This is a principle of living. Well, Pastor, I just don't know if I don't feel like showing mercy. Well, when I feel like showing mercy, I'll show mercy. Do you do everything in life just because you feel like it? No, we do it because we have to do it. We do it because we're supposed to do it. And if we will show mercy because it's the right thing to do, because it's the principal thing to do, because it's what we do to show that who our God is, then we become merciful. It becomes who we are. As a church that shows mercy, what is this church? It's an environment of mercy. And something happens when Christians practice mercy regularly. Your heart stays soft. That's why I'll submit, churches are not going to have revival if they don't understand the mercy of God. I'll go as far as say it's impossible for them to have revival in their church among themselves if they keep the spirit of the Levite and the priest and don't show mercy to those that can do nothing for them. Don't show mercy to those who God has showed mercy on when it costs them something. I'll submit to you that there will be no revival in that church, those churches, no revival in their heart, because they have to show mercy in order to have that environment of mercy. Your heart stays soft when you show mercy. Your heart gets hard when you don't. Is this making sense this morning? Your spirit stays tender. So, Pastor, sometimes people when they mess up, it makes us feel uncomfortable. Well, that's just because we don't know where you messed up yet. We're not uncomfortable with people. We're comfortable with the mercy of God. That's one reason why this church has the spirit it has. Is because we want to have the spirit of mercy. See, when you withhold mercy, something changes on the inside. Let me warn you this morning to put a safeguard around your heart. Because when you get to the place where you won't show mercy to somebody, your heart is hardening. Your heart is hardening. Some of you don't show mercy to one another, and you're still mad at somebody because of something they don't even know they did. You should show mercy to one another. You should show mercy to your pastor. Well, he seemed a little off his game today. How about some mercy? I spoke to him and he didn't speak back. He must not have heard me. No, I heard you. I just didn't want to say anything to you. How about some mercy? See, we withhold it, and we withhold it from one another. We withhold it from a lost world. Then what? Something changes on the inside. The heart becomes hard. The spirit becomes critical. It's a fact that when a Christian is critical, their heart, it's a heart problem, and they're not willing to show mercy to people, but they'll demand it for themselves. That tone becomes sharp. And over time, a Christian can become known more for their judgment of others than they are for grace. Can I help you? Mercy doesn't only just help others, it protects you. I try and live a life of mercy. I'm not the standard Christ is. But I do my best to try and show mercy. I'm not perfect in that. See, Pastor, why do you do that? Because God's shown mercy to me. But there is a little bit of a selfish motive in there too. Because it keeps my heart soft. It keeps my heart tender. And you and I, we can protect the spirit of our church. We can keep our hearts soft and tender, and God can work in our lives in other areas if we're willing to show mercy towards somebody else. This morning when we open the invitation, Christians, the altars may not be flooded for people to be saved this morning. We ought to be flooded with people say, I need to get rid of that critical spirit. I need to forgive where I've withheld forgiveness. I need to stop judging their motives. I need to stop looking at them saying, well, if I was them, I would do better. Well, friend, you're not them. You don't know what they're going through. Mercy guards us. Mercy protects us. It keeps you from becoming cynical. Can I just tell you, people will disappoint you. People will hurt you. People will let you down. You can invest in them and invest in them and invest in them, and they can turn their back and walk out on you. And if you'll permit me this morning, the pastor is human. The pastor does have feelings. And you can invest yourself in somebody and then just walk out and say, thanks for spending your life and being away from your family and your kids and to try and help me, but see you later. So what are you supposed to do with that? Show some mercy. Who's the next person? See, Pastor, I wish I felt like you. Oh, no, I'm not telling you everything I feel when that happens. But I don't want to get cynical. I don't want to look at people and say, oh, do you really want it? I don't want to look at people and say, is my time really worth it? No, I want to help anybody that I can possibly help while it protects my spirit. And there might be somebody here this morning, you've been, quote, unquote, hurt in church. Before you start feeling sorry for yourself, you got hurt at Walmart, you still go back. You didn't get the service that you wanted at a particular restaurant, you're still eating, aren't you? Why is it we hold God's people to a different standard of just common sense? But maybe you have been done wrong. I've been done wrong by Christian people before. What do? You forgive and you move on. It's not like we've never been guilty of saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, having the right motive, judging. We can't become cynical. So how do we avoid that? We let God's mercy flow through us. It's a good act. When you feel your heart getting hardened and cynical, you need to go serve somebody. I've been away this week, so I've had a lot of time to myself. So while we're here, there's some of you, your heart's getting hard, and I can tell it. Because these two go together. When you're not serving anybody else, and you're expecting the church to serve you, that's not showing mercy. To show mercy, you've got to be involved in doing mercy, showing mercy. And if you're feeling that way, I feel that way sometimes. It's like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want anybody to be around me. I mean, they didn't listen to the, if they'd just been in church to hear me preach, they wouldn't be having this problem right now. Or if they'd just done what I advise them to do, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. Sometimes I feel that way. You know what I need to do when I start feeling that way? I need to go find somebody to help. I need to find somebody to go visit. I need to find somebody who has a problem. Let me help solve that problem. You know why? Because I've got to keep my heart where it's supposed to be. Because as I have received mercy, I've got to show mercy. I want to be a merciful person. And well, it's not like, well, I could do this to you, but I'm not going to. Oh, no. It is showing the love and mercy of God. And let me help. Let me bind your wounds. Let me put you on my own animals, and I'll walk while you ride. Let me make the sacrifice. Let me take care of the need that you have. You know what that does? It keeps our heart. That's why if we stop giving the gospel, this church is going to dry up. We stop helping other people, this church is going to dry up. And I'm not happy when anybody gets sideways with the church, but there's an element that I'm glad that's moved on, that's just upset at us trying to help other people and do things for everybody else. Pastor, we need an extra inch in the cushion in our seats. No, we don't. The chair you're sitting in is fine. We can put some money investing in others that we'll never see a return on this side of eternity. But there's people that are going to be saved. Hey, I told you this morning of 34 people that trusted Christ as their Savior in a little town in Georgia because a pastor got a book that we printed and we spent money on. Well, pastor's always printing his books. Well, if you'd get the first time I preached it, I wouldn't have to put it in a book. Good. I'm trying to have mercy on you by putting it in another form. Good. And now I got to do audio books and, for some of you, coloring books. I mean, it's... let me just close it out this way very practically. Every person in this room is a product of mercy. God saw you when you were lost. And can I just say, if you go to churches and you say, well, the church judges me, you cannot say that in this church and be honest. Well, I didn't grow up the same way, and I just feel, if you ever hear somebody who comes to this church and they don't do everything the way that I do it, or they're not where everybody else is, and they leave and say, I felt judged, they're lying out of their mouth. Well, that's one thing we walk guard over. Amen. Is that everybody ought to feel welcome coming to the house of God. Amen. And it might just be the Holy Spirit that's making you uncomfortable, not this pastor. Sure. Sure. There's been, I don't know why I feel led to say this, but I think I'll probably just say it. There's people who've been, well, they looked at me because I did this or I wore this or I looked this way, and nobody's ever said a word to them. To say, well, if I can't serve, it's like, what are you talking about? You can serve here, 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 and here. You just got to show up. Oh. Well, they just looked. No, it wasn't me making you feel uncomfortable. It wasn't somebody else giving you a place to serve, making you feel uncomfortable. Then you got to ask the question, why are you feeling uncomfortable? Was the Holy Spirit making you uncomfortable? Because the Holy Spirit's telling you to change something. Take that up with Him. Don't get mad at me about it. I don't want you to change anything the Holy Spirit doesn't tell you to change. Nobody can come in this church, who's been in this church any length of time, and say, pastor's given me a list. Pastor's preached on a list of things. I have do's and don'ts from the pulpit. I've never done that. I don't need to. You know why? Because there's the Holy Spirit of God who can talk to you about what you need to do. And some of you He's talking to this morning. And He's talking to you about something that I'm not even talking about. That's the Holy Spirit of God. But by the way, that's Him being merciful on us. Saying, make this change, you'll serve me better. You'll be happier. Okay, back to the conclusion. God came to you when you could not come to Him. We know that. God forgave all of us when we didn't deserve it. God helped us when we couldn't help ourselves. And God has given every one of us another chance. And another chance. And another chance. And another chance. I don't have time to keep talking about all the chances, but you get the point. So the question is not, have you received mercy? The question is mercy flowing through our life? Because if mercy stops with us, we have misunderstood mercy. This morning, as we conclude, I want you to examine your heart. Is there someone you need to be showing mercy to that you're not showing mercy to? Has there been somebody that you've refused to forgive? Is there someone that you've written off? Someone that could use some compassion instead of criticism? Maybe this morning, God's not asking you to take a step of faith and, well, I'm surrendering to ministry, I'm surrendering to be a missionary or whatever. Maybe He's speaking to you about, why don't you just slow down a little bit and notice the people around you? Why don't you just respond a little bit differently when others disappoint you or where you don't get things that you think that you should have had? Maybe you ought to extend some grace a little bit more. I believe that we should represent ourselves in the public realm as the light of this world. We have Christ. It ought to reflect through us. And one way to do that, that I think sometimes we fall short, is we don't show mercy that we ought to show. If somebody's rude to you in public, you don't have to match. I just matched their energy, Pastor. How about let's show the mercy of God? And let's smile. Let's give some grace. Because if you retaliate, how are you going to hand them a gospel tract? If you retaliate and you meet them where they're coming at you, how are you going to be able to give them the gospel? Blessed are the merciful. And friend, when mercy flows through you, I love this statement I'm about to make. When mercy flows through you, you begin to look like the God who saved you. When mercy flows through you, you begin to look like the God who saved you. I preached on compassion this Friday night at the close of this meeting, and I set up the message this way about our Lord. And I'll close this way, the same thought process. Talking about Jesus and how He saw the multitudes and He saw compassion. I talked about how Jesus walked on the water. I can't walk on the water. How Jesus healed the sick. All the miracles of Christ. I can do none of that like Him, but the one thing that was probably the greatest thing about Him and His compassion, I can emulate that. The same is true of our God. He set the earth on its axis. He set all the stars in place. He wrote the laws of science. He can stop time, start time. He's in the past, the present, and the future. We start thinking about how big God is, it'll hurt your head. But it'll remind you how little, what a speck of dust we really are. But the same can be true. I can't do any of that. But if I show mercy to somebody else, I sure can resemble Him. That's an area that I can show. This is who God is. And friend, this morning, let's do business with God. Who do you need to show mercy to? Father, I pray.